Good morning, good morning. We are grateful for the kind words Brother Kevin introduced us with, and we are thankful for this opportunity to come and study the Word of God with our brothers and sisters here at the Lincoln Church of Christ. And we hope, trust, and pray that we will say only those things that will edify and build up the body of Christ and encourage all of us that one day we'll make heaven our eternal resting place. We're going to study from Proverbs chapter 24, verse 1 through 5. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 1 through 5. And the proverb writer says, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips speak of mischief. Through wisdom is an house built, and by understanding is it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength." I want to talk about the strong family. The strong family have certain qualities, certain characteristics, as laid out in God's word. In the world in which we live in, the devil has been trying to destroy the family, but God's wisdom can help any family be what it will be or it needs to be in order to bring glory and honor to God. Wisdom must be used in constructing a house. And by understanding, it is established, and good knowledge must be employed in order to fill it with pleasant and precious riches. The wisdom of God can make the owner spiritually beautiful when he or she applies the wisdom that comes from God's word. The wisdom of God can bless an individual to be adorned in a most beautiful spiritual way, according to Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 21 through 22. It said, "But the iniquity of the evil man," according to verses 1 and 2, "cannot establish his house. It is like a elaborate sandcastle on the beach. It will only stand until the high tide. But the house of a righteous man is constructed on the firm foundation of God's word. It can stand the ravages and of trouble, tormentors, and time." Psalms 127 and verse 1, the psalmist says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Now, I know a little something about building a house. I was a general contractor, not as much as Brother Kevin Smith, but just a little in order to build our first house. The foundation is the very start. If the foundation is not structured plumb, those bricks are out of order, then that house is going to have some terrible walls because they're going to be out of plumb. But if that foundation is straight and accurate, then when the walls go up, they're going to be straight. And the roof to keep the elements from penetrating the walls, and everything lines up according to the foundation. For the foundation is the basis of a house. Proverbs 24 and verse number 3 and 4 provides a description of a family that is built through wisdom. It is blessed with grace and solidly grounded or established. It possesses immense value, and every room is filled with precious and pleasant riches. What family would not be blessed with a home like this? And when we look at the homes in America, we see what is lacking. It is not really financial stability, mental stability, social stability, but spiritual stability. It is lacking in that which God has prescribed in His Word. See, how many people have a delight in the things of God. When we delight our home in the things of God, faithfully functioning homes will have the truth as its cornerstone and creed. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 9. You know, Moses told the children of Israel as he was speaking for God that thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon the gates. But the children of Israel, they started out right, but they ended up wrong because they got away from the wisdom of God through the word of God. And so when we realize that every home needs a solid foundation, Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24 to 27. The wise man builds his house upon a rock. Because when the winds just blow and the rain descend, that house will stand. But a foolish man builds his house upon the sand. When the winds blow and the rain descend, great is the fall of it. Why? Because it was built upon sinking sand. What is the thing that we need to focus on? What are the essential factors? The answers are revealed in the, as we survey the book of Proverbs, wisdom suggests that parents who have a definite plan for a pleasant and precious home can find such as if applying themselves to understanding. When we apply ourselves to the understanding of God's word, our houses can be built according to God's wisdom. Consider the unique traits of adorn the strong family in the book of Proverbs. The strong family believes in loyalty. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 to 4. Let mercy and truth forsake, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck and write them upon the table of thy heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 22. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Kindness is loved and appreciated by most people. But a liar is never appreciated by anyone. See, one who is kind is accepted by others because of his kindness, which expresses sincere concern. It is better to be a righteous person that is poor than a wealthy person that is a liar, according to God's standards. And then Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 10, thine own friend and thy father's friends forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother afar off. Friends can be very helpful during days or times of calamity. When you consider Proverbs 18 and verse number 24, a man that have friends must do something first. He must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It is good to maintain friendship so there is always someone to rely upon during times of difficulty. And all of us face difficulties from time to time. There is no need to travel far away to find your physical brother to help you when someone is closer, more immediate to help can be found in a friend. It's good for us to have friendships with those who are neighbors. And there was a time when I was growing up, and I remember staying in Lauderdale County, that everybody knew everybody. And never mind my sweating, because it's just a natural thing that I do. when I teach or preach, it's just a constant thing. But I'm used to sweating, and so somebody says he's going to overexert himself. I'm going to try my best not to. But living in Lauderdale County, living in a time when we had the doors unlocked, the window screen, the windows, sometimes they had screens, sometimes they didn't have a screen. You could see the lightning bugs flashing at night when you lie in bed trying to go to sleep. And nobody was afraid of anybody doing anything to them because you knew your neighbor knew you. And if you needed anything, then all you had to do was ask. You could either borrow it or they would give it to you if they had it to give away. But these are different times. When people get away from the principles of God's word, the wisdom that comes from God's word, and loyalty is not something that is emphasized in the family, nor in the foundation of a family, then you have problems. Where people take things that don't belong to them, but belongs to their neighbor, because they are not structured as a family to believe in loyalty. Loyalty is the cementing bond in all relationships. In the family life, it is the oil of cooperation. In my home, my hands are not too precious to wash dishes. I eat, therefore, he that will not work, neither should he eat. Well, the principle applies even in the family. That we taught our daughters dishwashing time. Yeah, we had an automatic dishwasher, but it's something like manually washing those dishes. You have a better appreciation for the meal that was cooked and prepared by mom. The essence of loyalty is summarized in Proverbs 17 and verse 17. A friend loveth at all time, but a brother is born for adversity. The family is supportive at all times. They stand together in adversity. Loyalty to the family is typical in a strong family. When we teach families the principles of God's word, you find families are going to be loyal. Not only to one another, but loyal to God and his word. See, this loyalty will be seen between spouses and children and parents and siblings. There will be cooperation within the structure of the family. And then another characteristic, the strong family is concerned about reputation. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 26. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 3. It is an honor for a man to see some strife, but every fool will be meddling. Have a lot of fools walking around that meddle in other people's family matters that should learn, okay, if it don't pertain to you, then wisdom teaches us that we shouldn't get involved unless we're asked to get involved. Proverbs 22 and verse number 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is more important than silver and gold. But a lot of times people are concerned about silver and gold instead of a good name, keeping a good name in the family. Proverbs 25 and verse number 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Confidence in an unfaithful man is like both of these. It will only bring about disappointment. I always have taught that only faithful men who are faithful to their families, faithful to their wife, or their wives, men, plural men, faithful to their children, faithful to the Lord, should be utilized in service to God. But some brethren advocate that you need to give a man something to do, then that'll make him faithful. No, according to God's word, you must be already faithful in serving God before you give an opportunity to serve the Lord in worship service. The old notion, this is not denominational doctrine where they'll make you a deacon and you're not even married, you don't even qualify, but You're a deacon of the church. That's the denominational concept. God's concept is you must be a faithful Christian first in order to be a faithful servant to the Lord. Proverbs 27, verse 21, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. The fire burns the dross from silver and gold, and praise put a man's heart to the test. See, it can urge us to greatness. Sometimes when you pray, give someone praise, it can motivate them to greater things or cause them to lose their worth by becoming haughty or arrogant. Some people can't take a little praise, a little encouragement, or they get all lifted up in pride. Those who are low also possess a good reputation. Solomon stresses that there is great reward for a family possessing a spotless reputation. For a good name is the reward, rewards families with who are trustworthy and honest. A good name, the family's reputation will be known by society. When we teach our families the principles of God and emphasize that this family has a reputation of treating people fair, just, and right, instill those principles, and society, the community, would know. So that's a family that's trying to maintain a righteous, respectful reputation according to God's will, God's law. When we consider Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 9, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself and discover not a secret to another or reveal a secret to another. Proverbs 25 and verse number 10, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame and thy infamy turn not away. Settle differences on a private basis if such is the case and is possible. Do not betray secrets to another lest it be used against you. Now, there be a situation whereby there is a misunderstanding between you and your neighbor, then we should maintain a Christian Christ-like attitude and realize that things need to be discussed one-on-one. You can resolve a lot of conflict, a lot of confusion, but going to the individual. Because I remember a time then there was a misunderstanding, and my dad would say, what needs to be done, need to go and talk to the person, just you and that individual, to resolve whatever misunderstanding you might have. Don't go run and talk to somebody else that knows nothing about what the situation involved. Because all they would do is add more confusion. Because whatever is discussed, it will meet you out there in the road or in the street. So settle differences on a private basis if such is the case and is possible. And when you do that, you can maintain the right reputation as a family. And then the strong family believes in accountability. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 10. A reproof entered more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Reprove the one who is wise, and he is not likely to make the same mistakes again. He will strive even harder to do well and to be grateful for having been straight out or straightened out or set straight. Some people appreciate corrections, and they will take it with a grain of salt and a grain of appreciation. But there are others who will have an attitude that you should have not said anything to me, because I'm grown. On our way here from Brother Kevin's house, I passed by a cemetery to the left. There are a lot of dead grown people in the cemetery who think that correction does not apply to them. All of us are applicable to God's law. We are amendable to God's word. There are those who advocate that if you're not a member of the church, God's word does not apply to you until you obey the gospel and you're baptized, and then you're brought into a covenant relationship with God. That is false doctrine. God's word is amenable to every soul in this world that's at the age of accountability. If you know right from wrong, good from evil, God will hold you accountable to his will, his word. So this notion, it doesn't make any difference how you live, what you do to people, what you say to people, you are not accountable to anyone but yourself. That's humanism, but that's not God's law. God's law teaches us we need to respect one another because we're accountable to God. We need to respect the laws of the land because we are accountable to God. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. The laws that be, they are ordained of God. We need to realize also that reprove the fool and he will likely be angry to feel that he is being treated improperly and will harbor ill will. Some people, when you correct them, and you're supposed to do it out of love, then it causes some people to resent you. But God's word teaches us, do the right thing. Many families act foolishly because they do not hold one another accountable. In fact, some parents cover up or rationalize or excuse the children of their error. But Proverbs 27 and verse number 17 says that iron does something. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpened the countenance of his friend. Those sharpened by a friend have received words that better the individual. When one is discouraged, the other can lift up his friend. When one is in sin, the other can rebuke. By rebuke can help him see his error. I always have learned to appreciate it when others correct me in a godly, Christ-like manner. That helps me to be a better person, a better servant of the Lord. And we all stand in need of correction by God through his word. But it's up to us to take the initiative to realize that we are mendable, we are accountable to God for our actions. Proverbs 28 and verse number 4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. One who turns his back on the law is more apt to praise those who are guilty of doing the same thing and rather than those who obey the law. Now, there are some people say, well, you know, it's nothing wrong. If you don't have, then you should take from those that do have. That's the worldly mentality. That's the worldly principle. God's law teaches us that if you don't have, then you need to labor to obtain what you stand in need of. That's a biblical principle that started all the way back in Genesis. God told Adam to go into the Garden of Eden and do what? To keep it. To keep it means to work. God instilled the principle of work in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And it goes forward. When you realize that all of us have a duty and responsibility to teach our children the principles of God's word, that they are accountable to God. Therefore, on the job where you're blessed to be employed, you don't burn the clock. You don't kill time. Because if someone was working for you and you had to pay them, you would want an honest day's work for honest day's pay. That's accountability right there. And if a person has to stand over you and make you work, they are not worth hiring. Because always we're taught that if the man hired you to do a job, you need to do the job that you were hired to do in order to be receiving pay at the end of the day or at the end of the week. But don't expect something for nothing. Because in life, everything costs. Somebody's going to have to pay the price. So there is accountability. Consider what the Bible teaches. On the other hand, when one is sincerely seeks to do the will of God, will contend with those who are wicked. Jude 3, Jude says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you that you should, to exhort you, that you should earnestly do something, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints." We need to earnestly contend for the faith. There's only one faith. Many families, therefore, act foolishly because they do not hold one another accountable. In fact, many parents, they cover up. If my daughters are guilty of anything, my wife, myself, we always take the initiative. One of us or both of us, we're going to have to have a sit down and talk with them about whatever the issue is that we think that is not lining up with God's word. If someone has done something to you or said something to you, or if you have done something or said something to someone, you need to handle it in a Christ-like, godly manner, because God will hold you accountable how you treat or react to the other person, regardless of how they treat you or act towards you. And therefore, Solomon's words reveal that in each family must be accountable to the others in that family. Do we hold one another accountable? We need to ask some questions about our home. Is my mate closer to God or more distant from him because of me? We can make the difference between our family members going to heaven or going to that other place that burned with fire and brimstone. But how we live for God and how we set the proper example for them, how we treat others before them. Can my family see that I'm doing God's will is the most important priority in my life? And too many times after COVID, we find that a lot of times people become slowful, slack, and unconcerned about everybody's business, that is, God's business, other than those things that God would have them to know and do and practice. They're concerned about how your other family members are doing. How you coming along on the job? Y'all have enough food to eat. Well, what about the spiritual food? What about the responsibility to serve God faithfully? What about the commitment to God on a regular basis? Because COVID brought about a change in mindsets of a lot of people, it didn't bring about a change in what God says in his word. What God emphasizes, faithfulness, commitment. We don't let the world dictate to us how to serve God. God dictates to us how to serve and worship him according to his word. God's looking for faithfulness, commitment, and accountability. Does our family talk to one another in loving tones as though we appreciate and value each other? Now, in my house, I have a lot of insulation. Every wall has been insulated. And sometimes I have to raise my voice, and sometimes my wife raises her voice at me because I'm in another room. I'm in the sunroom. She's in the kitchen. In order for her to hear me, then I say, "I'm back here," or "What did you say?" Or she says, "Where are you?" And I'm says, "I'm back here." And I have to identify what room that I'm in. But it's not out of disrespect. It's just the walls have been insulated to such an extent that we have to holler every now and then to get one another's attention. But does our family talk to one another in a loving tone as though we appreciate and value each other? Now, there's a difference between insulation in the walls and being rude and crude and disrespectful. I like my wife's home-cooked biscuits, and therefore I always want to recognize and respect her for the things that she does. on a daily basis or weekly basis. I like her cooking. Things that she bake. And therefore, I'm appreciative of the lemon icebox pie. And the chocolate pie especially. Because that's my favorite. And therefore, I appreciate her cooking. And I let her know how much I appreciate it by the tone of my voice. Thank you, sweetie. I really appreciate it. You didn't have to do that. But thank you very much. Because she knows how to get to my heart real quick with that chocolate. Does each member of the family know that he or she is valued and loved? We live in a world that is less love. More and more each day, people don't love like they used to. We need to demonstrate love, agape love, to our family members and express that in an openly affectionate way or manner, because these are the things that adorn or beautify a strong family. A strong family is accountable to God. A strong family recognizes the need to be an example for the other members of the family. My wife says to my daughters one time, said, you know, we never heard you and mom and daddy fuss. No, because we iron out our differences behind closed doors with the right tone of voice. And our daughters didn't know that there were times we did not agree. We disagreed on some things. But we did it in a respectful, like, manner. It wasn't in an open form where our daughters saw me yelling at my wife, raising my voice, ran up like I'm the pit bull or somebody. No, no, that was not the case. Privately, behind closed doors, she expressed what she expected, I expressed what I expected, and then we came to a happy understanding what is God's will concerning this matter. And that's how most of the issues, or majority of the issues, have been resolved in my household. What does God, what would God have us to do and handle the matter? Because at the end of the day, God's going to have the last say. Because see, sometimes I could be wrong. Sometimes she could be wrong. But I've learned that God is always right. And if we keep down on divorce, people dividing children from their parents, if they would learn to go back to the principles of God's word and realize that we need to be accountable to God and accountable to one another and set the right example before our families, before the community, it will go a long ways in helping us to be the type of people that God would have us to be. I pray, God, that I've said something to encourage each and every soul this morning to put God first and make God a priority. Because in our world in which we are living in today, there are some people, many people do not even believe in God, that there is a God. The Bible has become a book that is discarded, that is not important. Its teachings have become out or dated. And therefore, it is not the first reference point. Everything that we deal with in life can be resolved by using God's word as our first reference point in dealing with problems of life. Our prisons would not be overcrowded. Our homes would not be in disarray. Our children would not be caught up in the streets and on drugs and things of that nature if we let God have the last say. If we allow the wisdom that comes from God's word to penetrate our hearts and our minds, that it will go a long ways in bringing our families back in harmony and in line with what God would have them to be. Because I believe our problems develop when we leave God out of the equation. And my goal is to always make God number one. Now, I didn't grow up in the church. I grew up in the world. stepfather had a tavern, cafe, beer joint, whatever you want to call it. So I know a little something about worldliness. About Saturday nights and Friday nights, on into Sunday nights, and then sobering up on Monday morning. Because I was around that type of environment. Somebody said, why would you even bring that up? Because I was blessed to obey the gospel by Brother W. Armstead's preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, a different side to life as a child. My stepfather got out of that cafe business and ended up becoming a police officer. One of the first black police officers in Newbern, Tennessee. He wore a badge and a 357 Magnum. He already knew about the cafe because he used to run one. He said, now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay out of trouble. He had his hand on the hip. Now, I knew what that meant. That meant that he had the badge, he had the gun, he had the power, the authority to tell me this, that, and other. So I learned to listen. And that kept me out of jail. I've never been to jail behind the bars, but I've been to jail to see those who were behind the bars. Because I learned at a young age what it means to stay out of trouble. What it means not to hang around the wrong person or the wrong crowd. What it means to say no to drugs and those who are trafficking drugs. Because my stepfather never would have gave me his car keys. Said, look, you're going on a date? Here are my keys. If I didn't have sense enough to stay out of trouble, he never would have handed me the car keys. But I learned integrity. I learned respect. I learned accountability. That no matter what I do or where I go, somebody's going to know George Henry Reed, because he was a police officer. And therefore, I need to watch my step. Because it won't be long for somebody that he's good friends with, or somebody he knows from City Hall, somebody he knows from the police department, said, is this your boy? And I didn't want to get the beat down, because back then, it wasn't go take 5 minutes with your nose in the corner kind of stuff. I'm going to give you something to think about for a little while. And he get the belt, and I know what that meant. It wasn't time out, I guarantee you that. It was time out for me to quit my foolishness and straighten up and walk right. And I realized that I didn't like the belt. And the belt was a tension getter. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Now, apparently he didn't beat me to death because, see, I wouldn't be up here standing teaching this class this morning. So it was just enough discipline to give me something to think about and never forget that your attitude and your behavior and your accountability needs to line up with what is the right thing to do. So I've learned that while I'm blessed to be in this life, to share the message of Jesus Christ with those who don't know the Lord, and those who do know the Lord, don't write folks off as untouchable, and there's no use of trying to save them because they're too far gone. I've learned in meeting people that folks that said they would never become members of the Church of Christ obey the gospel and become members of the body of Christ and have a change of heart, a change of mindset, a change of lifestyle, a change of conduct. Somebody said, don't judge a person by their looks. Because, see, you don't know what they've been through, what God has brought them from. Because all of us have a story to tell. Make sure it's the right one that lines up with I have obeyed the Lord and his gospel. And I'm striving to live the Christian life, trying to make heaven my eternal resting place. We thank you. We turn it back in hand, Brother Kevin.